Welcome back, students and listeners who've heard this show before. I'm glad you're still with me. First-time listeners, I'm particularly glad you've tuned in. I'm your host, D.A. Arliss, welcoming you to episode 006 of the GuitarTechniqueTutor.com podcast. My goal as a guitarist and instructor with decades of experience is to raise the quality of my students and all guitarists' playing and understanding levels. So here I am doing my part to spread the excellence one guitarist at a time. I'm glad you could join me. Okay, for those of you who heard last week's show, we're going to continue. If you're hanging with suspense about the bat story, let me clear it up first thing. Believe it or not, they didn't get the bat out of the house the night I was there. Honest, I just can't get over this. And this is the most unbelievable thing of all. Arno's mother slept in the house with the bat. Arno went home to his own house. He lives around the corner. It's a long story why we do the lesson at his mom's, but I digress. It's not important. So his mom, this delightful French woman, slept in the bat house. I just couldn't believe it when they told me. Apparently, no one could find the bat by the time she wanted to retire for the evening. She slept in the bedroom, which had had its door closed during this whole bat event, so she was confident it wasn't in there. I don't know. I still couldn't have slept in a house that had a bat in it. What if she had to get up during the night? I wouldn't have crept into that hall to go into the bathroom for love, money, or anything else. It's amazing. Anyway, the following day, the police returned, and they found the bat hanging upside down in the living room drapes, asleep. They grabbed it, or netted it, I don't know which, what, how they captured it, and they took it out to the car and quote-unquote tested it, I guess for rabies and whatever else bats could carry. The result was that it was not diseased or there was nothing wrong with it now. No one in the family asked if the bat was tested and released or if it had to sacrifice its little bat life to know whether it was healthy or not. We want to believe that he was just let go somewhere in Bat Haven. I don't know. So anyway, that's the conclusion of the bat story. If you didn't hear the bat story, listen to episode 005. There's even a picture on the website, guitartechniquetutor.com/podcasts.html. And a picture of the bat is up there. So you might want to check them out. Anyway, this week, thankfully, Arno's lesson was not interrupted. No, nothing flying around the living room. The only other thing I want to cover in this intro is the RSS feed link that will allow you to subscribe, hopefully, really soon, to this podcast if you're so inclined. I can tell you my feed is validated. All I have to do now is determine and try to make one single decision so I don't have to do work multiple times of how I want my feeds and my server to interact. I'm just right at the precipice. I haven't made a decision. I don't think I'm being overly optimistic if I say I really, really, really should be done by this time next week when I record the show. If not, it's something unusual has developed. I don't know. But anyway, thanks for your forbearance on this. I know it would be much easier to subscribe than to keep downloading or having to stream it from the website, and I'm working on it. I don't go to any websites to listen to podcasts. I subscribe to all of them on my BlackBerry. So I understand that I'm a little behind on this technology. I'm doing my best, and I will get it done as soon as possible. What else? Lots of students are shuffling in and out of the schedule for the next couple of weeks with the waning of weeks of summer before school resumes. I'm hoping to compress my work week when I can and grab a free day here or there. You know, before you know it, we'll be back into the academic year grind. On that unpleasant note, pun intended, I'm going to conclude today's intro. Let's move along to the student spotlight. In the beautiful, golden, warm, buttery glow of the student spotlight this week, there are five students. Arno, who was batless, right away that puts him in the spotlight. Arthur, Brad, Brittany, and Danielle. I'm so glad that some of you are in the spotlight from week to week. That really, really makes me just giddy with delight. And the reason it makes me delighted is that it means that you're being consistent. And consistency is an absolute necessity for a musician. If you're listening and you're not one of my students, and there's many more of you who listen than who are my students, I realize, inconsistency is going to ruin your musicianship. You've got to have consistent discipline, you've got to have consistent practice, you've got to have your technique needs to be consistent, your understanding of what you're doing needs to be consistent, and that's the only way you can deliver a consistent level of playing or performance level. So you guys who are showing up week to week, you're doing a great thing. You should well be smiling when you find that you're in the spotlight again and again. You're doing something right. Don't change anything you're doing. Brad and Danielle, I know you're going to be away, but get back to your practice as soon as you return. So kudos, kudos, kudos for my spotlighted students, Arno, Arthur, Brad, Brittany, and Danielle. Let's move on to the question of the week. So, this week's question of the week also came in by email, and a student asked at the same time. So, I have one student who has asked this before, and I don't think he or she remembers. And I did get it by email, so that emailer person, Kirby, Kirby, I've already contacted you, and I will be sending you a GuitarTechniqueTutor.com podcast pick. Thanks for your question. It's a good one, and people ask it all the time, so I might as well cover it. The question is there some kind of cloth I need to use to clean my guitar? Okay, I often hear this. The times when I hear it the most frequently are when a student or friend purchases a brand new guitar, when a student or friend is going to play publicly and their guitar is full of smudges and fingerprints, and I also hear it when it's warm in the room where a student is having a lesson and I recommend them having a piece of knit or woven cotton fabric, like from an old t-shirt or flannel shirt or PJs, available to prevent the naturally occurring oils in their skin from bothering the finish on the lower bout of their guitar, because in warm weather they're wearing short sleeves or sleeveless garment when they play, and that continuous skin oil from their arm can wreak havoc with the finish of their guitar. So these three situations often cause a student to ask, you know, is there something special I need to use to clean my guitar or wipe it with? Well, most of us, I don't know, maybe I'm rare, but most of us want to preserve the appearance of our guitars. The student who made the inquiry really wanted me to tell her to buy a guitar polishing cloth, you know, the kind that all the guitar stores have that contain a polish to shine up your guitar. Well, as much as I like a beautifully glistening guitar, I'm not a big fan of those packaged, already polished or wax-carrying cloths. It just doesn't do it to me. I'm a bit of a purist, and I just would rather get my own cleaner or use my own piece of fabric. But I'm the kind of person that has a lot of fabric around the house, so I'm not saying never do it, I'm just saying it's not my choice. I come at guitar maintenance really from a preventative stance, first and foremost. Although they do not always pay attention, I tell every student with whom I work that they should have a piece of smooth t-shirt fabric or soft flannel or a smooth microfiber cloth, like what comes with for eyeglass cleaning or smartphones, not the kind that you clean your kitchen counter with. But of course you need a sizable piece of that microfiber, not that little teeny rectangle they give you. You should have that kind of cloth, and you should wipe the guitar down before they put it away for the day, every day that they play it, and every time that they play it. And wiping the guitar down includes plenty of attention to the neck, especially if you have unusually sweaty hands. The guitar neck should be wiped down and then the fretboard should be wiped with the cloth running the length of the neck under the strings so as to, you know, just get any immediately left you know, schmutz off the neck. And if you do this, whenever you play, you'll have much less gunky buildup near your frets, and you can have fret work done on your guitar much less frequently. I mean, I'm going for good maintenance here. The entire guitar body should be wiped with enough pressure to lift any newly left fingerprints or smudges from body parts, you know, from forearms or, you know, anything else that attached itself to the finish immediately prior to ending your day. Now, the order that I do it, which is something that is actually just a single instinctive movement to me at this point, it's not even like I think about what I'm doing. I do this every time I play my guitars, is I do the neck, the back of the neck, I do the fretboard under the strings, move it down the soundboard under the strings by the soundboard, then the whole soundboard surface, then I do the lateral sides, I do the back, the heel if it's gotten smudgy, up the back of the neck again. So it's the first trip is the neck of the guitar, and my next to last trip is neck of the guitar from the body to the headstock. And then holding the guitar by its neck with the cleaning cloth, I put it in its case. Now, I've been doing this since the very first plywood-looking, cheap, miserable guitar I got from a record store back in the day. I don't know about you, but I take care of my stuff. So, you know, I take care of my BlackBerry. It's not full of gouges. I take care of my computer. You know, it doesn't have barbecue sauce in the keyboard. I take care of my stuff. So a guitar should be no different. And, you know, I run through this maintenance and, you know, it's really a rare thing to have to do anything more than that. Now, you might not have a guitar that is clean to begin with. That's another story. Now, as far as this cloth, you know, we gave you the choice of the t-shirty kind of material. I guess you'd call it knit cotton, like jersey. A piece of flannel like from PJ's, or really, really fine microfiber. Well, does it matter which of these types of cloth the guitarist chooses? Well, yes. If you have a satin finish on your guitar, you have to use a super fine microfiber cloth. Anything with wider threads than that might actually smooth that satin finish off with repeated use over a long period. People who have a really good lacquer finish, or I guess the old-fashioned varnish doesn't count, but anything that you get nowadays has lacquer on it, and that can definitely take it. I mean, I've been doing it for decades on instruments that are really good, and no harm has come to them. They look like they're new. Then there's the issue of polish. I don't polish my guitars. Well, actually, I've polished one of them twice in 40 years that I've had it, but aside from that, I don't polish my guitars, and I doubt it's going to get polished anytime soon. Let's see, polish. What else can I say about that? There are products out there that will clean accumulation of gunk and schmutz. And if you have not been cleaning your guitar for years and want to make it look newer, you want to use those. However, if you have any significant scratches or nicks or gouges, and especially if you have those and you play a higher end guitar that you could imagine yourself or its next owner restoring, do not use any polish. I'm going to say it again. If you have a high-end guitar that has scratches, dents, dings, nicks, gouges, do not use any kind of polish on it. If you do, it will make it really difficult or impossible to totally restore if someone would want to restore the instrument. And if you've got a premium instrument, it's possible you may not be the final owner of that guitar. So, you know, don't ruin it for someone else. So, keep your guitar clean every day. If you really want to polish it, use a spray made for cleaning and polishing, not a cream or dense paste. Be sure that whatever you use on your guitar is recommended by your guitar's manufacturer, or if your manufacturer just has a generic recommendation, use that. If it doesn't make a particular recommendation, make sure the product you're wishing to use and going to use is made for the kind of guitar finish your instrument has. Those of you with vintage instruments that need cleaning, I advise you to take your guitars to a good luthier. I know it's pricey, But if you have an old instrument and it has a thin layer of varnish instead of a generous amount of lacquer, you could really damage your instrument. So take it to a good luthier. Now, that might entail making some phone calls, getting some referrals, and ending up shipping your guitar off to somewhere farther away than you're really prepared to drive. But if your guitar is in miserable condition and you're finally at the point where you're going to maintain it now when you play it, it's worth getting it cleaned professionally. If it's, and especially if it's got dings and gouges and dents and things like that, a good luthier can really take care of refinishing your guitar and making it look brand new, or cleaning it up if it's the sealant used on it is something you have to be careful with. Okay, so I hope your guitar is going to be sparkling and glistening and reflecting light and inspiring you and making you look more credible as a musician. And that's it for this week's question of the week. Again, Kirby, thank you. Don't forget, if you email a question to me at guitartechnique@gmail.com and I use your question, I will contact you and send you a guitartechniquetutor.com podcast pick. So if you have any guitar questions that are not just personal to you that you think others would benefit from, don't hesitate to email me. And students, you know you can ask me anything, and you always do. That wraps up this week's question of the week. Let's get moving along now to the news. A few episodes ago, I mentioned that this is a great time of year to take advantage of the plethora of free live music offered in most places, in the U.S. anyway, during the summer. An artist I discussed in that segment was Bucky Pizzarelli. Not John Pizzarelli, that's Bucky's son, but Bucky himself. Well, as he has done almost every year since I can remember, Bucky played a free concert last night. That was Sunday, August 8th, in Fairlawn, New Jersey. I had plans and couldn't attend because I couldn't change my plans. So that was a really rare thing for me. I can't even count the number of summer gigs I've heard Bucky play. I mean, it's been just about every time he's performed. And I have customarily taken students with me or had them meet me there. Anyway, I contacted all my students and encouraged them to go if they could, especially ones who've not yet had the delight of hearing the great older seven-string guitarist play. So I was disappointed not to have gone. It's Monday morning now. I have not heard from any of my students, but, you know, it's morning and musicians and morning and, you know I won't hear from them for a while. So I can't comment on what Bucky played. I haven't heard a report from anyone yet. But I have to confess that during the dinner engagement we were at last night around 8 o'clock, I caught myself thinking about how many times I've sat out with students on warm summer nights to hear him play. So I really regretted hearing him. But, you know, don't forget, this is really the time of year to look around. You'll be really surprised at some of the artists that are available in open-air, free, or very inexpensive music venues. I think Newport Jazz Festival just ended this week in Newport, Rhode Island. I'm not saying that was a free event, but summer, frequently you'll see, during summertime, you'll often see festivals and events that don't ordinarily take place during what I call the academic year, from September to June or September to May. So keep your eyes peeled, go online, check in your area, or if you're going to be somewhere that's not your area, check that out too. Here in New Jersey, a lot of beach communities have band shells or public forum areas, and there are often a lot of great concerts by the beach. All the big cities have stuff. I mean, New York City, you've got Shakespeare and you've got other music in the park, by the park. When you're around here and you say the park, you mean Central Park. So really, really take advantage. I mean, gee whiz, you don't even have to have money to do this. If you wanted to hear Bucky last night, all you had to do was take a chair or a blanket or a pillow to sit on, and you had a free concert. Anyway, the other small news item for this segment is from my longtime associate Andy over at SeventhString.com. That's spelled out in words, SeventhString.com. News from over there is that transcribed version 8.1 is now available. Students, update your software. If you don't already use transcribe, check it out at SeventhString.com. It's a program I've recommended to students for years, and I have it on my computers. It's on my new Mac. I wouldn't be without it. In the case, I've indirectly known Andy for it's got to be at least 12 or 15 years, at least 10 anyway, more like 12 or longer. Transcribe is a program I've recommended. I have it. You don't have to worry about when you download it from his website, you don't have to worry about viruses or strange things attacking your computer. I believe there's still a 30-day trial, and then a license has to be purchased. One license is good forever and ever. Andy's great about that. It doesn't matter if you lose your license, if your computer crashes and you get another one. He's a real person. He's going to make sure that if you've already bought one license for one computer, that you'll be able to use it on any computer that you have, one computer at a time. I'm not suggesting buy a license and distribute the program. That would be wrong to do. That would be no different than me logging onto your bank account and stealing your money. So don't do that with him or anybody else. The reason I suggest all my students have and use the program is most particularly to assist them with advanced ear training work, and actually ear training on any level, but the more advanced stuff especially. Check it out at SeventhString.com if you're not familiar with it. It's a great program, and Andy's a good guy. It's sound. You're not going to get any problems on your computer. Okay, so that's the news for today. Short and sweet. Now let's move along to the Take Note segment. Well, this is not pleasant for me, but the Take Notes segment is based upon how one views a professional appointment. This week I was more than thankful for text messaging than ever before in human history. I know that doesn't sound like my topic, but here's the tie-in. Two particular students TM'd me the same afternoon as their lessons. One to cancel their lesson, and one to move it at the very last minute. If they had called and not TM'd me, I am sure I would have dismissed them both. Now that's a radical statement for me, and I do not tend to be fly off the handle-ish or irrational or having high-strung temperaments. But this is something that is really not healthy for them as maturing young adults, and really unacceptable. They are students for whom scheduling became a crisis on that given day because A, they didn't pay any attention to the appointment they had for the day, and that they don't pay attention to anything unless it's social, or B, possibly and B, they don't view our lessons as a professional appointment. Now, don't misunderstand me. I know that everyone's life has uncertainties, and there are surely more important issues in one's life than music instruction, although not too many, there are some. and I'm more than prepared to do everything I can to accommodate a student who returns home from work or school sick with a different lesson day and time if my schedule allows. I don't want you to think I'm a witch here. I'm also fine with a student calling me on the weekend or at least a day before their lesson to ask if they can move their appointment, if it's doable, or cancel for the coming week, provided cancellation of their lessons is a rare occurrence. But these two individuals have become more and more lax in keeping their lesson appointments. So if they hadn't TM'd, surely I would have just dismissed them, because I'm just about at the end of my rope. Now, if you have an appointment with a doctor or dentist and don't show up or cancel the very last minute, they well might charge you for the office visit. And the reason they do it is not because they're necessarily money-grubbing bloodsuckers, but when an appointment is canceled at the last minute, and in common parlance that means the same day as it's scheduled for, that available time may not be able to be used for another patient who reasonably needs some notice to work their schedule around the appointment. It's not so different with a private music instructor. We work on a schedule, or at least I do. I teach because I do it exceedingly well. This is how I make my living. When my schedule is changed at the last minute by an inconsiderate student, now I'm not talking about the one who comes home occasionally seriously sick from work or school. I'm not talking about that person. But the ones who are inconsiderate, who change their schedule last minute, if they do it, I'm left with a lesson time that I can't redeem for income because I can't give it to a student who might need to make up a lesson because they can't have sufficient notice, and I can't contact a student who may have requested a different day or time so as not to cancel a lesson, but they couldn't have another day or time because I didn't know this lesson was canceled, and they did have to cancel. You don't understand what I'm saying. So this is really a problem, and if anything, the two individuals in question here have more time, much, much, much more free time in the summer than they do during the academic year. So this is serious. I'm still not happy. I'm sure you can hear it in my voice, and it needs to be addressed. Now, as an instructor, I make it a point to be extremely personable with my students. I like to know what's going on in their lives, because usually it affects the time they're able to put into practice. It affects their motivation. If there's a date in the future at which time they're going to be auditioning or performing, you know, that really figures into their work ethic for that period of time. And I also like to have some insight into their personal interests and proclivities, because it helps them teach me better in terms of how I present information, and sometimes even in the music I choose for them. And sometimes that will mean going with the genre or genres they most frequently enjoy, and sometimes it's going totally 180 degrees away from the genre that they're most exposed to in order to broaden them as musicians. So, I mean, I'm not personable with my students as in the sense that I'm a phony. I need the information, plus I'm interested. I mean, my students are all very dear to me. Most of my students realize that despite our really cordial relationship, I'm still their teacher, and that if we have an appointment, it is professional, and our relationship is that of a business relationship as well as a social one. Okay, I feel better. I vented. If either of you two culprits, and you definitely know who you are, hear this podcast before I see you this week, I hope you will consider what I've just discussed. I will surely have a word with each of you. Your personal responsibility has been more than lacking in this department, and it needs to be adjusted, and I mean like yesterday. I love you both, but you're really pushing the envelope. I don't like dismissing students, but I will if you don't resume normal lesson schedule. There's just no two ways about it, okay? I endure, and I always think you're having just a lapse in a particular week, but we're getting way over the edge here. You're pushing the envelope, you know, just don't go there. Now, for those of you who don't know me personally, really, I am not a witch. I promise. I just need my students to keep their professional appointments. I need them to keep the agreed upon schedule we've made. And they also need this for their general life coping skills. I mean, you can do what you want with your friends, you know, and if everybody says they're going to meet at the mall or for a movie at a certain time and you don't show up, well, that's one thing. But the truth is, if you have a professional appointment and you don't show up or you cancel it, whatever's at stake in that appointment is going to be viewed by the person you cancel on as being very insignificant to you, and they're not going to hold you in the esteem that you would like, and the relationship might break or terminate. So, you know, get your life skills together, people. Just because you're a musician doesn't mean you have no care about your money, balancing your checkbook, keeping your appointment calendar accurately, and all that. So, you know, artist, schmartist, I live a very artistic life, and I do have a lot of problems with organization, but I don't miss appointments. I keep my bills paid, my checkbook is balanced, and you guys have to do it too. So don't use the excuse, well, I'm an artist and I don't bother with details. Music, when played correctly, is all about details. Your life, when done correctly, is also all about details. So you two, you know who you are. I'm going to see you in a couple of days. Be ready for me. We really have to talk. That winds up this episode of podcast 006. Let's go to the outro and really, really wind it up. Students and valued listeners, thank you once again for your time and for joining me for episode 006 of the GuitarTechniqueTutor.com podcast this week. I hope you heard something thought-provoking, instructional, and or entertaining. I will include links to anything I've mentioned that you might like to explore further in the show notes. Don't forget that my website is GuitarTechniqueTutor.com. all spelled in the traditional way, GuitarTechniqueTutor.com, and that you can reach me by email at guitartechnique@gmail.com. Notice there's no tutor in the email address. Don't hesitate to email me with your questions for the question of the week. If I use your question, I will send you a GuitarTechniqueTutor.com podcast pick. You can follow me on Twitter, where I'm GuitarTechnique, or you can join the GuitarTechniqueTutor.com Facebook page. Links to both are on the GuitarTechniqueTutor.com homepage. That's on the right side, about halfway down the page, or, well, depends on your browser and your screen size, but it's on the right side. If you are seeking expert guitar instruction by a competent instructor in the Bergen and Rockland County towns in which I teach, such as Airmont, Allendale, Fairlawn, Franklin Lakes, Glen Rock, Hawthorne, Hohokus, Hilburn, Mahwah, Midland Park, Montvale, Oradell, Paramus, Park Ridge, Ramsey, Ridgewood, River Edge, Saddlebrook, Saddle River, Suffern, Tallman, Teaneck, Tuxedo, Upper Saddle River, Waldwick, Washington Township, Westwood, Woodcliff Lake, or Wyckoff, please contact me. Calling is best, and my phone number is on the website. If we can coordinate our schedules and you are a good candidate to learn to play the guitar, perhaps we can work together. This is a good time to get into my schedule. Not just that I am almost near the point of axing two students, that's not why, but my schedule is a little bit open until around Labor Day or mid-September, so there's more likely possibility of us being able to find a mutually convenient time for lessons if you're so inclined to employ me to teach you guitar. Have a great week. Don't neglect your practice and keep your guitar clean. Until next time, I'm your host, D.A. Arliss, doing my part to spread the excellence one guitarist at a time.